Time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for another Saturday. Yes, it is Saturday. It must be time to talk pro wrestling. It is Saturday, October 17th. Holidays today, real quick. National Pasta Day. But isn't that every day? Sweetest Day, which I believe is the day you buy chocolate for your sweetheart. And it's always the third Saturday of the month. And it's Wear Something Gaudy Day. That once again is something that happens every day to me. I want to shout out happy 63rd birthday to former WCW United States Champion Steve Mongo McMichaels. Yes, I know calling him a wrestler is kind of a stretch, but he is 63. And the last time he was in town, you might remember he was coaching a Chicago indoor football team that played outdoors at Salem Stadium against the Rochester. What was the team, Danger?
Are they the Raiders?
Yeah, the Raiders. Oh. So Steve Mongo McMichael, 63 today. And there's a Twitter site that you can go to where it's like, I can't remember what it
is. Oh, I forgot. It's
Mongo taking atomic drops?
Yes.
It was Rick Rude taking atomic drops. It was Mongo doing all sorts of weird stuff, but I forgot what the handle was.
But it's terrible.
I follow it, and it's hilarious.
And Mongo never does one right move in any of these the clips they put up on there, so it's hilarious.
Well, they started doing all sorts of WCW stuff. Yes.
That's our Mongo, but yeah.
That's our Mongo. All right. Well, it's his birthday today. Happy 63rd. I'll let you know the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Light Empire Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? Would you like to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, FLOUR. Find them online at flowercityfear.com. I am the Cash Man, and as you heard already, I've already been gabbing with my two co-hosts. It's Jay-Z, pictureless.
Yo.
Jay-Z, I'm saying you're pictureless, my man.
Oh, here. I can turn the camera on now. Hold on.
Yeah,
turn. It's not much to see, but, you know. I'll just put it up so you don't see my big belly.
I thought I was seeing gritty for a second. Hold on. I see orange and I see hair. That's not gritty.
There you go. That's me.
All right.
No, it's not gritty.
But I love it, man. That's great. I was going to say, if you're a fan of ours, go to our Facebook Live Facebook page and you'll find it's not gritty. It's Jay-Z. And he looks great. I like it. I even got a background and everything. And Danger Boy, of course, joins us. Danger, how's it going?
It's going.
Danger, you're such a pessimistic Bills fan. I just got to throw this out. You know, they have one.
No, I'm a realist. I am a realist. I've lived through this before. Remember, Trent Edwards was 5-1 at one point and took a cheap shot, and the season was never the same. They finished 6-10.
Okay.
I know how it can disappear.
We lose one game on a Tuesday night, which you shouldn't even count it because it's Tuesday night, and you're automatically throwing in the towel.
That wasn't just a loss. That was you're missing one person on offense, so your team can't do anything, and then your defense can't do anything all season anyways.
Well, you're missing a linebacker and a safety, the two important parts of the team. But, yeah, I know. Listen, they're going to bounce back and beat Kansas City this week. So Monday, and get this, 5 o'clock start time?
I want whatever you were taking.
it is Saturday morning, so it probably would be bagels and maybe hot coffee. So, Danger, nice to see you. We're here to talk the world of pro wrestling as we do every Saturday. And, you know, you can always join us, send us a message on Facebook or whatnot. I've got some messages actually to read later from Facebook because I put it up there that we will discuss what you want to discuss. And so let's talk a little bit about, I think the biggest piece of news this week was we started last week, started talking about the draft, and now we are into the second day of the draft was Friday night. And now we have guys who have moved from one to another. We're going to go through and talk, maybe do a little bit of introspection on these and see what, you know, how big a deal it is. I just want to start off by one thing. I'm a dummy. When they were announcing the guys who were already on the same brand, staying on that brand, I didn't think that was a big deal. I think it's just a lot of lip action to say, oh, and so they're going to Raw, which in reality means they're not leaving. You know, they're not doing anything. I just think it was stupid. Unless someone goes from one brand to the next, that's the only time you should announce it. You know?
Well, they're treating it like everyone becomes a free agent and is in the draft pool.
Okay.
So at that point, no one's on any show. I think that's still actually technically going on until like Monday, because on SmackDown this week, we saw, you know, Biggie's and the New Day's Last Stand type deal, and Braun Strowman challenging for the heavyweight title, even though he's a Raw guy now. So.
They're
trying to treat it like a legitimate draft, even though they didn't have the big Fox robot this year, and that was very disappointing.
No.
Are they going to have that wild card thing where they can come in, you know, a couple times a year, someone can cross over?
Well, it's almost Survivor Series time, so they got to do the brand warfare there, and then I think the wild card kicks in.
Yeah, but remember they announced the wild card last year, and then some like three people did the wild card every show, so it was like, what did it really matter, you know? I mean, it's basically, you know, it's like we have these two separate brands, except for these six guys who can float between them at will. Alexa Bliss is a perfect example. She's been on both shows, you know, a lot. So,
well, Alexa Bliss equals ratings.
Well, Alexa Bliss, you know, and one thing, Alexa Bliss, I believe, was she drafted to the
Raw? She is on Raw.
She's on Raw. Well, so she's officially drafted to Raw. Though she was on Raw last week anyways, and she's been on Raw a bunch of times in the last month or so. So I've got a few highlight names that guys who are coming to Raw who actually, you know, left another brand. And I say this with a little bit of skepticism. Braun Strowman is on Raw now, though. Do we count when he was on that Raw Underground show? Because remember, he showed up. That was the first time he really showed up on Raw, was the Raw Underground show a couple weeks ago.
He's been on Raw for the last month, and now they announced he's actually on. He got drafted to Raw, so. Supposedly there's a reason for that.
Well,
with Underground being done, are they even? Does that even count or matter anymore?
Yeah,
I mean, we
were kind of hinting.
It's sort
at,
of like,
yeah. Go ahead. We were hinting at it last week, but it never really got into talking about, you know, if they decide to skip a week and then another week, and now it's like because of COVID-19, they claim it's done. You know, so
feels like it was this weird alternate universe that doesn't really matter to the rest of the WWE, and now it's gone, so no one cares.
It's the bizarro. It's a bizarro universe, man. What's his name? Daba Kato? He's the only guy I remember out of it, man. Daba Kato. Who actually had his name changed, you know, after he'd been on for a few weeks. So hold on. Let me go through some other names. AJ Styles. He's a guy who definitely was on SmackDown and now is definitely on Raw. And, of course.
Oh, he was just traded to SmackDown in August.
Yeah, so it was, yeah. But,
or a little before that.
He was traded right around the time Paul Heyman was fired from Raw. And he had a problem with Paul Heyman. And then Paul Heyman showed up on SmackDown, you know, not too long ago when Roman Reigns decided he wanted to be the tribal chief, Apache chief, nunchuck, or whatever he used to say.
You
were dating yourself.
I know.
Be careful, Rich.
You remember that. Do you remember Apache chief from the Super Friends?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, Roman Reigns. I don't know where that angle he's picking up on this and stuff, but apparently he's got the okay from everybody to do it. So I just, you know, he's like humbling people by saying that they're, you know, that they're what, you know, trying to get them to beat them down to the point where they'll say, you know, you're my chief or whatever, you know, so you're my high priest. That's what it is. My high priest. So nevertheless, okay. So we also have Jeff Hardy, who's another guy who moved from SmackDown to Raw in this. And I'm just only highlighting the guys that were definitely on the other brand. So Jeff Hardy moves. I don't know if that's a big move for him or not. I mean, he was in contention for the title on SmackDown, the Intercontinental Championship, and he had it for a while. Now he's coming. I think it's a good thing. I think Raw needs a bolster of some popular people, and I think Jeff Hardy is definitely a popular wrestler. It's a Hardy party, my man.
It boggles my mind because I've never been a fan of Jeff Hardy, but people love him. So maybe they're just trying to bolster the ratings because Raw's been dropping like a stone.
Yeah, it has. What do you think, Danger?
I like Hardy going to. I mean, it's switching it up. My only problem with some of the switch-ups they did is they're going to continue the same feuds on the different show.
Yeah. Well, listen. You're right, because Sheamus came over too, you know, and he just had that big feud with Jeff Hardy.
Well, Jeff Hardy was feuding with AJ Styles over the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
And then you got, you know, like Seth Rollins goes to SmackDown. I'm like, okay, this is awesome because now Seth Rollins is finally getting away from the Mysterios. We don't have to watch that for the next 4 months again. Except the Mysterios went over to SmackDown too. So and everything's just being kept going.
So I'll go.
It's the same feud, switching brands.
What's great is we have to, in about a month, believe that AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy and Sheamus, along with a couple other guys, are going to be loyal to their brand together to fight the other brand. So that's what we have to believe now, is that nothing matters from the last couple of weeks or a couple of months. It's all going to be okay because they're going to be loyal to their brand. They're going to set all their differences aside.
They just got traded to.
So let me go through the rest of the people who went to Raw. Then we'll take a break and do SmackDown on the flip side. But the rest of the people: Matt Riddle, the new HBK. That's what I call him because I think that's what Vince McMahon sees him is a guy like HBK who wears no shoes. Sheamus.
Well, if HBK worked in this time of day, I'm sure he'd have the same lawsuits against him. So.
Oh, hey, okay.
Hey, it's allegedly.
Excuse me. Also, we have Sheamus we mentioned already. The Fiend Bray Wyatt. And from the women's division, Alexa Bliss, of course, wherever Bray Wyatt goes, Alexa Bliss must follow. Don't you love when they do those Sister Abigail's in, you know, simultaneously?
I had really good timing this week with that.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Dana Brooke, Naomi, and Nikki Cross all came over. And this is the big one. Two tag teams, The Miz and John Morrison and Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods without Big E, which, you know, they played it up, the emotional aspect of that with Big E, like, you know, you're leaving me. But I think Big E, you know, it's not a bad thing for Big E because now it's time to push him, not having these guys around. It was amazing. The week they come back, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, they win the titles the week they come back, and both of these guys were injured, you know, not too long ago. Xavier had a terrible injury. It took him a long time.
He was out for like a year.
Yeah.
He tore his Achilles.
It took him a long time to come back, and so they both win the titles, and they're all celebrating, and then the next week, they're going to Raw, and what they do is to hand the titles, because I'll give you one tease who's coming over. We've got the Street Profits coming over with the SmackDown, or with the Raw titles, and do they just like trade the titles backstage?
Yeah, they didn't even disinfect them.
So
They've been tested.
The belts have been tested. So on that note, we're going to come back, talk about SmackDown, who's going to SmackDown. We'll be back right after this on Fox Sports 1280.
Fox Sports 1280, Rochester.
Sports 1280. I am the Cash Man. I'm joined by Jay-Z. Jay-Z, yo.
What's up?
Jay-Z and Danger Boy. It's like a reunion to like about 15 years ago.
Forever.
Prior to,
that was like three kids ago.
Yeah, Jay-Z only had one kid then. Now he's got 16, I think. I don't know. Welcome back to the show. We're here to talk the world of pro wrestling. Last week, last segment, we talked about the Raw drafts. Now we're going to talk about the SmackDown drafts, and we've got a lot of things to talk about more than that. But SmackDown-wise, the only people that really came in from Raw, we saw Aleister Black. It's probably refreshing for him to get away. The only bad thing is the guy that he was feuding with is also coming back to SmackDown, and that would be, of course, Kevin Owens. Got Apollo Crews, so he's obviously out of MVP's group.
He wasn't in MVP's group.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He was fighting.
He was shooting with them.
Yeah.
So he doesn't. There's no solution to that. We also have coming Dominic Mysterio, Rey Mysterio, officially Lars Sullivan. Though Lars has showed up on both shows, but Lars is now officially a SmackDown guy. What do you think about Lars? You know, remember when this is kind of the push we got about 8 months ago with him when he first showed up. We really liked it. We really liked his old school look and everything, but it's like, well,
we liked his old school look before we found out about everything else about the guy. And it, you know, as soon as he comes back on SmackDown, it's a surprise. We don't know he's coming back that day, and then all of a sudden there's controversy the next day again. It's just, yeah.
He's not a nice guy.
If he had come around 40 years ago, he'd probably been a huge star, you know, running through the territories. But no one would have known that he's kind of a dirtbag. And then with the internet, you know, the internet never goes away. So now we know too much about him. So I just kind of,
well,
it's very, very hard for me to get excited to see him on TV.
Well,
very difficult.
The week he debuts, he starts posting things on people's sites. You know, like, hey, I'd like to see some more pictures of you, honey, or something.
That's an older, like, not older, it's within the last few months, but it's, you know, it's the yoga instructor's husband who made it public that, hey, this guy's been told multiple times to you know, not cross this line, to the point where they had to refund his money to get him out of that class because he was being that bad.
Wow.
And supposedly it's after he's been doing it for, like, he was in the class for a year until any of this started.
That is, yeah. You know, I mean, well, I'm not going to reap on it, but I do. I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that knowing some of the stuff he does outside, I do like what he's doing, though, beating everybody up, having everybody run away from him. So, but
well, he looks like a monster. He's got the perfect look for a guy that kids would be frightened of, and all the good stuff that, you know, wrestling decades ago, you wanted a heel that no one trusted or nobody wanted to be near, that just was a monster that could come in and just destroy everybody. And that works, but unfortunately it's really, really hard in the era of reality wrestling.
Yeah.
That we know so much about their personal lives and their flaws, and he's obviously got some major flaws.
Social media is the devil. So social media is the devil. You know, because social media is the devil if you're not a good person. If you're a good person, everything's okay. But what you do reaches out to social media, you can't take that back. It's, you know, it's forever embedded in time, especially time.
I was going to say, it's very interesting, the you know, news that came out this week and rumors about what they're doing with him, though, and what the long-term plan is. It's weird to say long-term plan with WWE, period, but the fact they put him and Braun on separate brands to keep them away from each other so they can build towards a giant match at some point. That reeks of, like, 80s WWE, WWF. I don't know, you know, if it's actually going to happen, if they're going to give up on it in 2 weeks, but supposedly that's the plan right now. So that could be interesting, at least. And as bad a person as he is and everything that we've seen, unfortunately, Vince McMahon loves him. So we're going to see him.
Do you think that if he was around in the late 70s or early 80s, they would have made him Russian? And, you know, he would have carried, like, maybe...
Oh, yeah. All day. He would have had that Russian sickle, and he would have been right there.
Carried a chain with him everywhere.
Oh, yeah. He totally... I mean, I can see him being the... just that Crusher Khrushchev, Nikolai Volkov kind of hybrid.
Yeah.
Monster like Ivan... Not Ivan, but Nikita, you know?
Yeah, and he would have got over huge, and he would have made a lot of money, because, you know, back then we hated the Soviet Union, you know, and then
he could tour as a public speaker now.
yeah, he could do that. So hold on,
whatever Nikita's doing now, I know he did that.
He's a priest, or he's a reverend, so I know
he's a pastor now.
He's a pastor. He baptized a lot of people. In fact, a few that have passed away recently. So
good for him.
I believe Animal from the LOD he baptized, as well as Hawk and a bunch of them. So, you know, I mean, he's a pathway to everlasting life, we'll say. But there's some other guys that have moved over. Murphy. So, Murphy and Seth Rollins had a falling out. Now they both come over to SmackDown. We mentioned a minute ago that Seth Rollins is coming too. Seth Rollins is about to take a break. So, you know, I don't know how long we'll see him before he's gone. But I like Murphy. You know, I mean, obviously Murphy's got to follow the Mysterios too if he wants to, you know, still, you know, make his moves on Dominic's sister, who defends him to her, you know, which is, you know, I mean, that's, you know, a love story in the making right there. You know, Romeo and Juliet, you know. You're not supposed to be with that guy, but you want to be with him. So, nevertheless, the last guy coming over was Shorty G, and I think he's just thrown in. You know, he's like the change left over.
I thought he was on SmackDown already.
No, he wasn't. He was he was with Ali and I wanted to call him Ali G. No, and he was with those guys. Remember, he was like their, you know, and.
No, it was Apollo Crews and Ricochet and Ali before he went to Reckoning. He was with Ali back when Ali before he got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that was on SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought he was, because I remember him teaming up with him on Monday night once not too long ago. So he was like the extra guy they threw in. Like you said, he's the change. So women's division, we had Bianca Belair come over, Billie Kay, Liv Morgan, Natalya, Ruby Riott, and Zelina Vega. And I know that we don't have Furby with us this week, but I'll do the when we talk about Zelina Vega, because she's super hot. Men's tag team division, we have the Street Profits and Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode coming over. And good for them. And, you know, and they traded belts backstage. You know, you're the champ of this show, you can have these. And you're the champ of this show, you have these. And it's like, interesting. I don't know if it's going to change up many things, because it really seems like a lot of the same people that were feuding ball moved over to the other brand. Big E is the biggest man that is left out on the whole thing. I think he might benefit the most from what's going on.
Well, how about Andrade? Didn't even get drafted to either side.
I heard things like NXT with him, so...
I heard NXT also heard that he possibly could be, because him and Mickie James were the only two that were in the draft pools that weren't drafted. Mickie James is out for a little while because she broke her nose in a match. And the rumor is that Andrade is going to have a minor elective surgery. So they didn't put him on a show because they can just do whatever in like a month when he comes back.
Okay.
Or he's going to NXT, one of the two.
Yeah, and don't think that the other people who aren't mentioned are fired. They're all going to be showing up eventually too. What were you going to say, Jay-Z?
I would rather Andrade be on NXT, to be honest with you. I don't know if there he'd get used better. I haven't liked anything they've done with him since he's been called up to the main roster. So I'd rather he be in NXT. He's much better. It's a much better fit for him. But I guess we'll see. I mean, Zelina Vega's over on SmackDown now, so maybe they're going to throw him in the mix there again. I'm not sure.
Sorry, I had to do that for Furby. You mentioned Zelina Vega. He gets excited. So actually, most of the women's names I mentioned, he gets excited for, you know. But yeah, so yeah.
He's young.
He is. So, and believe me, she's a gorgeous woman. Don't get me wrong. But,
hey.
You know, but I remember we saw her in town with Andrade when we saw NXT here, when Andrade took on Drew McIntyre. And believe me, those two guys meshed well in the ring. I thought it was a great match that they had. I think Drew got hurt against Andrade. That's when he tore his...
The takeover match is when he tore his bicep.
Yeah, so, I wanted to ask one question. Wasn't the first draft pick Drew McIntyre going to SmackDown? Well, was I wrong on that? I thought I saw...
No, because Raw always had the first pick. Raw had the first, third, and fifth pick of every round.
It was not...
Because they get three.
It was not very clear. You know, I'd be honest with you. I just... If they just wouldn't tell us people who were staying on their own brand, it would have been a lot better, you know? Because it's like, you know... But, you know, it's not like everyone's fired who's not drafted. You know, I mean, there was like a flurry of drafts, you know, like by the end of the SmackDown last week. So... There was, you know, they just started pumping names out on a TV screen. And it's like, if you're not paying attention close, you might have missed that, you know? I mean, it was, I think it wasn't handled very well this year. I liked it a lot better when we had the two guys doing the drafts, you know? They had one general manager against versus another general manager. I liked that better.
Well, how about the fact that Aleister Black was drafted after Titus O'Neil in the sixth round on Monday?
Yeah, well...
It makes no sense.
I guess maybe that shows you where his stature is with the company, you know? I mean, they want to change his character, but I mean, he's kind of a hard character to change, you know? I mean, tattooed up in the way. I mean, I love his entrance. Are you kidding me? I love his character. I don't know. You know, just I don't know why they just can't get him over. You know,
doesn't get it.
Yeah,
Doesn't get it, and it's weird because Aleister Black has that mystique about him that could be an Undertaker type of character. You know, just tweak it a little bit because he's got that darkness about him. You could keep tweaking it that Undertaker style. He's not going to be the Undertaker by any means, but I don't understand how Vince can't get it. The guy's got everything you need. He's the whole total package. But Vince doesn't get a lot of stuff now.
He doesn't. You are correct. Hey, why don't we go to break on that? Come back. We had a big anniversary show this week. AEW celebrating 1 year, and we're gonna break it down.
Whoa, 54 weeks of shows.
Okay, 54 weeks. So 1 year. Well, you know, it's a leap plus 2 weeks here. No, you know, 54. It's 54 weeks. But we're gonna talk a little bit about the feelings we got from that. After this, you're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man. I'm joined this week by Jay-Z and Danger Boy.
What's up?
Jay-Z, Caledonia-ish out that way, and Danger Boy's in Gates, New York. I'm downtown at the 16th floor of the Five Star Bank building right now, and we are talking the world of pro wrestling. Daniel Bryan showing up on SmackDown this past week. I like that. I miss DB. You know, I mean, I know he's like...
Did you see Brie Bella on the one of the screens?
Is she on one of the screens? The screens?
Her and the kid is right behind one of the screens.
Very interesting. Wow. I did not know. You know, I got to tell you, did you see this story online this week about the girl who was on one of the screens, and then she was like doing a snapshot of selfie of herself as she's on the screen, and it was like a recycled video that she had done like a few weeks ago. So
there was no sign up. There was no sign up for NXT this week, yeah. And they used recycled footage for some people.
So they want to make sure that the Nazi guy's not out there, or the Ku Klux Klan guy.
Well,
or Kenny Omega.
Yeah, again,
they're guilty of doing that in the past. They used to do that with reaction shots. I remember even Dan Cole, our good friend Dan Cole, shared. He was at a show where he was really mad at. I want to say it was a John Cena win. And they cut to the crowd, and he's standing there looking all disappointed. But then they showed it in a montage, that exact match where there was a win. They cut to the crowd. It was a completely different crowd. Dan Cole was not in the shot. And so they're guilty of doing that. They like to kind of tailor everything within their machine.
Of course. That's why they piped the sound in as well. You know, remember the they used to pipe the cheers in? Even when Goldberg came to WWE, they would pipe in the Goldberg chants and stuff. I mean, I know that WCW did that too. I mean, it's kind of a tricky thing because it's like sing along time. You play the stuff and people will start doing it.
Oh, there was legit times that Goldberg got those chants.
Yeah, there was. Oh, yeah.
So that's I mean, and then WWE would make fun of them. WWF at the time would make fun of them for piping in the chants later on, and now they just do the same thing.
Yeah, they do the exact same thing, and they've been doing that for a long time. Because I've sat down on the floor for a Monday Night Raw, and I could hear the audience coming through from the speakers above my head, and I'm looking around going, who's making this sound? I'm looking around, and it's like it's piped in. So I promised we were going to talk about the AEW anniversary 54th week show from this past week, and let's talk a little bit about it. It starts off with the match, I think one of the matches I was most looking forward to, which was FTR with Tully Blanchard versus Best Friends. And now I figured out Tully's position. anytime FTR is going to lose, that's when Tully comes in and does the heel move. And that's how a real manager does it. You got, you know, you can be out there if they're beating up inferior competition, he gets to do nothing. But when these guys are stringing together moves on these guys and there's a chance there's going to be a pin, all of a sudden Tully Blanchard sneaks over and grabs the belt and walks around the corner and hands it to his guy. So I loved how that ended, because that was perfect heel move by the manager. And it was a great match too. Don't get me wrong. Best friends, they really came out and threw down. What'd you guys think of that one?
I like the match. I think I like the fact they're actually using Tully how they should, and letting him do the healing thing. I don't necessarily like that they gave so much to the best friends. I don't think they're on the same level. That's just me. Everyone talks about how great the AEW tag team division is, and there's some good tag teams. I don't think everybody is as good as everybody gives them, as a lot of people give them credit for. I like Trent. I don't like Chuck Taylor that much, but it was a good match. They did a lot of stuff. They got their things in. Shivani said something at one point that just made me cringe. He goes, at one point Chuck Taylor did, one of the flippy dudes. And he goes, can you imagine that big a man doing that? He's 6'2", 217 pounds. And I go, 235 used to be the cruiserweight limit back in the day with Brian Pillman and Jushin Liger. So,
yes, I can imagine that.
It makes them look small when you say stuff like that. But other than that, it was a good match. I like Tully being a heel. I wish they would just hurry up and get to the Bucks program, because that just needs to happen.
Yeah, I know. And go ahead, Jay-Z.
You mentioned the tag division in AEW. They have like a huge number of tag teams, but they only have, I would say, 3-4 that are elite tag teams, like Penta and Phoenix, Young Bucks. I barely put FTR in that group too, but
what about Uno? What about Uno and
Uno and Stu Dos, yeah, or whatever he's called. What is he called now? Stu Grayson.
Yeah,
I like them a lot. The problem is I still see them, and it's been hard to break out of that. Like the thing with Chuck Taylor too is that these guys were always comedy guys.
Yeah,
in my head, you know, and seeing them. Taking them seriously is really tough. I think Best Friends, if anything, they're up there. They're really good. I mean, that match with Santana and
Ortiz.
Ortiz. Those two. That match, that hardcore match, was one of the best tag matches that I've seen. Not only in AEW but ever. It was really good. I think I enjoyed that tag match. I think Tully was the star of it, which doesn't bode well for either of those teams, but it was a good match. It was fun to watch. Well, I mean, Tully's great.
And if you watch it closely, it led into Miro coming out. And I will be honest and tell you, I don't like what they're doing with Miro. If they could have just... And no one wants to borrow someone else's gimmick, especially if it's from another company. And if you're too close, they'll threaten to sue you. But Miro comes out, and I just, you know, he comes in and mops things up after the match is over, and then turns into so all of a sudden him and Sabin in a tag match. So we got two tag matches with Penelope Ford. Of course, I don't mind seeing Penelope Ford anytime out at the ring. Okay, Penelope Ford is a very good looking lass, but so we went to that. But I'm not big on what they're doing with Miro. I think they could have. There's got to be another way to have him break in.
Miro in AEW, the way they've presented him smacks of all the bad things that TNA or Impact did early on with a lot of those guys, those ex-WWE guys, or even when Hogan was there. They don't know what they're doing with him, and it could be Miro's not giving them a lot to work with. He might not be throwing input, and he's like, you know, I'm really fun on Twitch, and maybe that should be my gimmick, and I can wear these $500 Disney t-shirts from Gucci. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he, maybe he's just happy as a paycheck. And the sad thing is that guy 3-4 years ago, I would have seen and, you know, as a much bigger star than he is.
He
now.
Rode a tank and out. He rode a tank out in WrestleMania.
Yes. <know? laughs>
Yeah.
We talked about that last week. Danger, what do you think?
I agree with the Miro thing. I don't like it. I don't like they brought him in as, well, first off, in another stupid wedding angle. I hate wedding angles. They've way overdone right now. He looks like the same I don't care character type deal that he was doing at the end of WWE. I hate that they're building like his character. He gets angry over video games.
True.
This is a guy, like I said last week, this is a guy who rode a tank to the ring at WrestleMania against John Cena in one of the headline matches. This is a guy who should be a monster, and he's got no aggression, no nothing. I don't know if he just doesn't know how to do his own character, and he's just stuck in that WWE model from the Performance Center. I don't know what it is, but it's not working.
No, okay. So,
well, one of the things about it is he suffers from the, sorry, Cashman.
That's okay.
He suffers from the fact that, you know, a lot of the guys that really, ex-WWE guys that really are doing better now, is they took some time to go to the indies. They took some time to get some seasoning on them. You know, Cody traveled the world. He did ROH. He did New Japan. I mean, he did all these things, and he became more well-rounded outside of the WWE kind of machine. But Miro, you know, he gets cut during the pandemic. There's no independent wrestling except for the ones where you're going to get COVID, like in Indiana and Ohio the last few weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
But he, you know, there's no place for him to get that, like, seasoning that, you know, sort of develop who he is as a wrestler outside of WWE. Yeah. And
he needs that nutmeg, man. Someone's got to pour some nutmeg on him, you know?
Pumpkin spice. Yeah. That's the season we're in now, Rich.
Yeah. So we got to speed this up a little bit. We got MJF making a big announcement. He wants to be part of the Chris Jericho's group, and I thought that was silly. Obviously, it's going to turn into a big turn eventually, and we're going to get a big match out of MJF and Jericho. But I think MJF comes out and says he's got these great things, and then nothing's that spectacular. So, hey, we are joined by the artiste. What's up, buddy?
I was too late.
No,
just trying to be myself, joining late.
That's okay. That's okay. We're in a third segment. We're just talking. We're just finishing up talking about the AEW 54th week celebration that was on TV this past week. Oh, sorry, their anniversary. But I was about to break here. But one, you know, we're going to talk about this in the next segment. So I'm glad that the RT showed up, because we're going to talk about our matches of the week, and that's the next one that was for a few people on AEW, which was pretty cool. But then we got quickly, there's a couple other matches, and that's talking about Orange Cassidy taking on Cody. We'll talk about that in the next segment. But we've got Sheeta taking on Big Swole. I think that pretty good match. I mean, Big Swole, you know, kind of getting some, you know, trying to push Big Swole down our throats a little bit, but that was good. I have no problem with that. Of course,
the only problem I have with the women's division this week was when Britt Baker was pleading to not have it be the lowest rated segment on AEW.
Yeah, that was,
here's the answer. Yeah. Here's the answer to that. Make it better. Make it actually be something.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I agree.
You and make it too much sense.
Yeah, and so, and then we had Moxley versus the Murder Hawk, Lance Archer. Moxley wins that, and then that's the end of the show. So why don't we take a break, come back, and we got one last segment, and then the artiste will be with us as well. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. The guy in the Cash Man with the artiste who joins us in the last segment, Danger Boy and Jay-Z and you. And the man who showed up this past week after being gone for, what, about 6-7 months now, Elias. He's back. He's bashing guitars over people, and he's being a bad guy. So definitely check out Mr. Elias. We'll see what he does on Raw from now on. But before we get into talking about the match of the week and stuff, did you see that they announced the next NXT show, and it's going to be Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal? Did you see that, Danger?
Oh, that's going to be that's going to be on Halloween Havoc.
Halloween Havoc.
On the 28th.
It's a, yeah.
They announced Halloween Havoc at TakeOver, but they announced the spin the wheel, make the deal. And if they're both Coal Miner Glove matches, I'm going to be so excited.
Yeah, they have.
That was such a bad.
Actually, going to do that live, truly live, and not earlier in the day or something.
That's
I love the aspect of it, like really being chosen right before the match, and not getting to plan for it. But they tape it; they could.
Well, do you guys see the matches they're going to do? It's either a TLS match, which I'm not sure what that is.
Tables, ladder, and stairs.
Yeah, maybe trick or street fight. Coal Miner's Glove on a Pole, Buried Alive match, Casket match, Biker's Chain match, Chamber of Horrors. Gotta see that one. Boiler,
please, God, yeah. The Chamber of Horrors.
Boiler Room Brawl, Weapon Wild match, Blindfold match, Devil's Playground, and Shotzi's Choice. You know what we're going to get? We're going to get Blindfold match. Two guys walking around with their arms out looking for somebody. And then someone's going to get hit by accident. You know, it always happens.
But no, we're going to get Jake Roberts versus Sting in a Coal Miner's Glove match. No. That's what we're getting.
No, we're not.
Just like the first one.
We got two matches with it that are going to be spin the wheel. Johnny Gargano and Damian Priest and Candice LeRae and Io Shirai. So you got to love that. You know, both Johnny Gargano.
Just to imagine that. Wasn't the coal mine like Michael Cole's little booth?
Yeah.
His
yeah.
like COVID protected booth that he could call it. Just do a match in there. It's like the smallest little steel cage, glass cage ever.
It's like fighting in a phone booth, you know? It's like,
yeah,
yeah, you know, it's like, how do you pin somebody if you're on top of them already? You know, you can't move. So that's coming up.
At least we won't see three or four Tope Suicidas in one match if they do it in a phone booth.
Are you sure about that?
Well, you know, it'll be tough, but
so I miss about you, Jay-Z. You know those names, you know. So this is our
last. It's only because Moro says them like seven times, or Excalibur says it every time someone does it on AEW.
True. Rob, what did you think of the AEW anniversary show? We kind of gave our opinions on it.
I mean, as you know, AEW is my favorite wrestling product out there. I was a little disappointed in the show overall, to be honest. I thought it was kind of, it was solid, but like in terms of if it was like just matches on a pay-per-view, I guess. But I don't know. That I didn't like that none of the titles changed hands. I really wanted Best Friends to take it from FTR. There wasn't a lot more to it. I'm not a big Swole fan. Sorry. Like that match wasn't great in my opinion. The main was okay. We'll probably talk about OC and Cody. But I don't know. And this whole thing with MJF and Jericho, I don't know. I'm looking forward to what they're going to do, but that segment itself kind of fell a little flat.
Well, I think that because MJF keeps coming out and saying he's got a groundbreaking announcement, and it happens every time he talks on the microphone. Is it truly groundbreaking by begging to be in Jericho's group? You know, I mean,
do you want me to join the Inner Circle? No, I mean, what I want is MJF and Sammy Guevara first, and then they can slowly build to MJF and Jericho. But I hope they don't skip over that. Obviously, they're kind of building that little rivalry with Sammy receiving that 5XL jacket a week or two later.
I love that, by the way. I love that.
That was a great visual.
And freaking Jericho made him put it on. It's like, no, put it on. But the question is who comes out the face when after that? MJF going to get, is he going to do like a reverse turn and get vaulted to a face, or does Jericho benefit from that?
You can't.
Jericho.
Yeah. Got to be Jericho or nobody.
Especially if MJF
needs to stay that way for forever.
Especially if MJF wants to be the Roddy Piper of our modern generation. So let's get to it right now. We're going to talk a little bit about match of the week, and we all have one. I'm going to read Furby's because he's not here this week, but he did send us one. Furby sent his match of the week, which was Ilya Dragunov versus Pete Dunne versus Walter and Alexander Wolf. That was obviously from the NXT UK, right? And I did not see it, so I can't comment on it. But Pete Dunne, any match Pete Dunne's in, I love, because I love it when he starts grabbing the fingers, you know, and starts pulling them apart and doing all sorts of things. You know, it's just one of those. He's one of those guys that's old school. It's like there used to be guys like pressure point wrestlers who would know where you could touch somebody and it would cause them extreme pain, like in the shoulders and stuff. And that's kind of what Pete Dunne reminds me of, as a guy who he knows, you know, how to really hurt somebody without really putting much effort into it. But that was his match of the week. You have a match of the week, Mr. Sanderson?
Yeah, so it's tough. This is a week where I probably watched more wrestling than any other week I can think of. I watched most of the Collective last weekend, which was 12 shows, plus Impact and AEW and Dark and even a little bit of Raw. But I'm going to go with Orange Cassidy and Cody. I like the way they finished it. I liked the match. It was competitive. They got the lockup. It told a story. I know I said last week I was a little nervous going into it in terms of him getting another chance and not winning. Now I'm going to kind of repeat that, because I like the way they finished it. They kind of kept Orange looking strong.
Oh, yeah.
But now you're committing to doing that match again in 2 weeks. Is Orange not going to win again? Or are you going to do the title change too soon? So that's my match of the week. I have to give a runner-up, just because I watched so much wrestling this week, in terms of for the Culture, one of the GCW shows at the Collective last weekend, really late at night Friday, Too Cold Scorpio taking on AR Fox was just awesome. Scorpio, I think this week, is turning 55, and he can still go as well as anybody in the ring. I love Too Cold Scorpio. Love that match. So I got to give a shout out to that as well.
And AR Fox is amazing too. Okay, how about you, Mr. Jay-Z?
I'm gonna tag onto Artiste with the Orange Cassidy Cody match. That was to me, it was a great short story, and it was compelling. By the time they got to the finish, I didn't know how they were gonna end it, which I love about wrestling when you can't predict the way they're gonna do the finish. I am also nervous with what they're gonna do in 2 weeks. Is Darby Allin gonna get involved? I don't know. And Cody changed his hair back to blonde, which I don't know what he's thinking, because came back with the dark hair because he did the TV show, and I thought that was a nice change up for him. I don't think the blonde hair works for him. But
the weird thing was, it was actually brown hair, but then he put black dye in it for the show.
Yeah.
So he's had black and brown and blonde, all sorts of hair in the last couple weeks.
Well, yeah. Listen,
have to shave his head.
Rhodes are traditionally blondes, okay? So I think that's one thing. And I think also, if you're a heel, your hair's dark. If you're not a heel, it's blonde. So
I think because of his build, because he's so slight compared to Dusty, the blonde hair doesn't work for him. He looks too much like a Ric Flair kind of. He's got that Ric Flair look about him with the blonde hair. I'd rather you have the dark hair and set him apart a little bit. But you know, who am I? I'm just a guy losing his hair and growing it out at the same time.
Looking like Zach Galifianakis or Gritty. I keep calling you Gritty because you're in the orange and okay. Danger. What about you?
I need to get a Flyers jersey.
I'm also going to go with the Cody Orange Cassidy match. It wasn't a great week for great matches on TV, and I haven't watched NXT UK yet. So yeah, that's what I'm going with. It was a good match. I enjoyed it. It was, I really hope they don't have, if they're going to pull the trigger on Orange Cassidy, pull the trigger, but you got to do something. You can't just keep going the same thing over and over.
Well, you know what? I agree. I'll tell you, I was going to pick that one as well, and I'll tell you why. Because Orange Cassidy sold like a champ for a lot of that match, and then had a flurry of offense, 14, 15 minutes into the match, where anybody else, you could eventually get pinned, but he can't. And I mean, and how many close calls was it with him, hitting Cody there with things that he put him into a pinning combination. So he was, and you're right, Rob, Artiste, the way he stayed strong till the end of that match. I thought, yeah, I definitely enjoyed that. I like every match that Cassidy's in. I think he does a great job. And even though he ends up on the losing side of a lot of them, he still ends up smelling, you know, good at the end too. So I think eventually they're going to have to give him something. I don't know. I don't know if a heavyweight title or a TNT title will do it. They could have like a TV or a Intercontinental title or something else. He just needs, I mean, I don't even know if he needs it because I mean, he's over, you know, I mean, he's over the second he puts his hands in his pockets. Okay, that's I'm a huge fan. I've been trumpeting him since probably before he even got started getting elevated because of just some of the great matches he's had and
maybe
I love
his Wrestle Circus match against Gentleman Jervis available on YouTube.
Yeah,
with phenomenal commentary by Rochester's own Rob Sanderson and Colin Delaney. Am I correct?
Thank you very much. That's correct.
All right, guys, we're done. We're done for another week. I want to thank you guys for making it out there so much. A lot of fun. And I didn't even get a chance to. There was a comment. I'll see if we can get it in before the music ends. There was one comment I got from somebody that was asking. They wanted to know if we would be happy with a Four Horsemen reunion or not truly a reunion, but a new Four Horsemen that they've been teasing at. I don't know. I mean, if Tully's involved with it, and if he's not one of the wrestlers, I will take it. But I don't know beyond that, you know.
Why not? I mean, Tully's already with a few guys, so give it a shot. They've got so many stables, but it's already kind of a thing almost.
Sure. Well, yeah. Danger, what do you think?
I don't like ever having a new something, so if they went with a different name, but everyone knows it's supposed to be the Four Horsemen, they might as well just do it at this point.
Sure.
And it
might as well, Vince is going to try to take all these other old WCW and Dusty names and stuff, whatever, like, why don't you just go ahead and do it if you can, legally.
Sure. Very cool. Well, I want to thank you guys for making it another week. We'll see you next week, folks. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.